please, Steven. No. Come on. Come on. Come on, to the tune of I've Got You Now.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Wow, you could do that.
Come on.
Now let's do
We're going to... All right, all right. We'll just let it happen. It'll happen, I believe. I thought you were going to do it, Kaylee.
You got to do a duet. 2, 3... 4. That's how it counts, by the way.
Dude, here, I'll beatbox.
4. I've got you now.
I thought we were doing a whole new world.
That's the intro. The beat's still going, sister friend. Hit me with it. Hey!
Help me!
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming. My name is Adam, and I am your moderator. Tonight, I'm joined by Steven.
Yo.
Seth. And Kaylee.
Hello.
Come on, you gotta switch it up. You can't just do the same intro every time.
I do what I want.
Right. Some hot bean dip.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot to talk about tonight. First of all, Kaylee has been invited to Origins.
What?
She's accepted.
She has accepted the offer.
She is coming with us.
That's right.
So, boom.
Yay.
Majority vote, unfortunately.
What?
Okay.
And we are T-minus... a number of days.
Exactly correct.
Away from heading to Origins. I will be flying.
8 days for us.
Eight days. And we really don't have anything planned once we arrive. This will be our first convention experience, so we are going to take lots of photos.
Well, board game convention. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Yes. This will be our first board game convention experience.
My first convention experience.
Awesome.
Oh. Wow. Yeah.
So we're going to be taking lots of photos and video and hopefully making that available to everybody who's interested in knowing what the Origins Game Fair is all about.
Oh, we've got yeah. You.
So yeah, stay tuned for exclusive Origins footage straight from the convention. No filters.
That's right. We're going to try and do a podcast while we're there as well. We are already scheduled to play games with Alex on Friday, mm-hmm. So he may be interested in joining us for a podcast, yeah. Which would be awesome.
Be dope.
It would be.
Legit.
Do you have any?
Dang. I'm saving dang. Dang it! I was saving it. No.
In a row.
He just ruins it for you.
Yeah, he does.
The audacity.
I even gave him the look.
I know. So I knew. No. I gave you the look back.
It's a lot of looking happening right now.
It is.
That's all we can do right now is just stare dreamily at each other.
I feel like I'm in the middle of something.
Yes.
You might be.
We all are.
Steven put me here, so... Oh, gosh. They're winking.
There's a little bit of eyebrow.
That's implying that there's a time when we're not winking.
Just constantly winking.
On that note.
So, we all got together today. Today is Memorial Day. A good day to get together and play board games, and that is what we did. And we busted out a few, but the first we're going to talk about is Risk Legacy. It has been months since we have gotten to play a game, yeah. And we were able to all get together. The five of us, Steven, Kaylee, myself, Mr. Wall, and Mr. Powell, for one last Risk game before Mr. Wall heads off to be a missionary in other parts of the world. So, how did it go?
So, I wasn't actually playing, but it looked awful. I was saying I was rooting for Mr. Powell, and he couldn't secure the victory, and that really made me sad.
Yeah.
There were a lot of points where we thought someone had won. Between Mr. Wall and Mr. Powell, and yet neither of them did win at those points. So it was a very high and low game.
It was very much an emotional roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
But with that said, it was probably the closest game we've had yet.
Awesome.
And probably the longest we've had yet.
So right.
It was very entertaining from that point.
You say it was the closest game you had yet, and yet I saw Adam get taken out very early on.
That's right. I did. Mr. Wall procured 30 units at one time and just wiped me off the map, securing a victory point. So I was out of the game probably a third of the way in.
Well, I mean, I saved a spot for you.
I know. I know. I appreciate that.
You're the life raft.
Yeah.
And then again, in this game, they thought I was the threat at the beginning.
Right.
And so they weakened my forces so Mr. Powell could sneak on in there.
Right.
Just like Adam did in the very first game we played.
Yeah, but now we're friends.
I would hope we're friends now, too, considering I totally came into the rescue, but, you know.
No.
So
we all know you were just furthering your own selfish gains.
No.
Yes.
No.
I saw it.
No.
You didn't want to lose.
Well, here's the thing. You name cities in
right.
this game. Well, Kaylee and I are superhero connoisseurs, if you will.
Right.
Experts. So I named one of my cities Gotham. Another one, Bloodhaven.
Yeah. You know, awesome.
We had kind of a theme. So she named one of her cities Central, but she also has Starling City.
And from Menu.
Of course, mm-hmm. Arrow, which we have shouted out so many times.
Right.
I controlled Gotham. She controlled Starling. And I had to have her back.
You know? Right.
It was pretty much, it was that.
You know? Okay.
Plus, I thought it was lame that they all just teamed up against her.
Yeah.
I've always been very much
Were you one
lame.
Of those people? Who?
No.
No,
I didn't attack her like a single time.
Yeah,
true story.
Yeah,
I lost the game voluntarily.
Yeah. Collusion is what that's
so
called.
Bad last time, and then you ended up winning.
Now you two teamed up, but neither of you won.
We both held.
But
on.
We right. definitely what? Messed up their plans a lot.
Okay,
so that was pretty exciting.
No,
to no avail.
Right, Mr. Powell wanted Seth to make a statement on his behalf concerning this game, because apparently Seth is his only true friend.
Because Seth was the one cheering for him
right.
to win.
So wait, I was supposed to make a statement?
Do you have the
note? Yes.
I'm honored. This is, wow. Risk Legacy is a game of ups and downs, and it was very emotional for Mr. Powell. And since he couldn't be here tonight, I have to make a statement in his stead. Two people foiled his plans, but we're not going to name names. But I think from what we've already said, you get the picture. And as for Mr. Wall, no words. Thank you.
Perfect.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Powell. Okay, yeah.
Maybe next time.
Probably not, though.
So, to sum up, Mr. Wall did win his final game of Risk Legacy, which...
Which I thought was more fitting.
Right.
To be honest.
Although, he is the only one who has won two games.
Yes,
now.
So we got to open another packet.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
And so we got some more... Event cards and some mission cards and a new rule.
A new rule. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Hang in there, Mr. Powell.
You only
like
have
10 more games.
Yeah, you only
right.
have 11
win,
more games
so.
Or whatever it is to win. So.
So
you'll be fine.
Yeah. We're going to be playing this for the next 5 years, apparently. So
at our current pace?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sure seems that way.
And so with Mr. Wall's absence, there's a void to fill, and he had a very specific person in mind, did he not?
I believe it was you, Seth.
No, it was Josh.
Really?
Josh. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
Josh?
It was Josh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Really?
He passed yeah. over, Seth.
He passed the torch to Josh.
Wow.
And I, for one, could not be happier.
Okay.
Because it looks awful to play.
All right.
And I had my heart broken again.
What?
On
So.
Just looking through these loving eyes.
So. Right.
Oh, my goodness.
There's more looking.
I'm going on a road trip with these
two. I know.
There will
Pray for me.
Touching.
Wait, whoa.
This just escalated
not,
really
not
quickly.
Not in my car.
It did.
Okay. At least.
So there's no touching in Seth's car.
No.
Other cars
in
on
the rest stops.
Hand.
I mean, I can't. I have no jurisdiction.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Help me.
Help me. But Kaylee, we've got you now.
It's going to be a lot
well,
of that.
I found my
well
new
sung.
Passion.
Right. Bringing the soul,
goodness,
always.
Baby.
So, another exciting thing that will be happening actually before we head to Origins is we will be hosting a King of Tokyo tournament. Which is pretty exciting, and I know probably about a dozen people that have already showed quite a bit of interest and will probably mm-hmm. attend. There is a sign up, but you can show up on the day as well.
Awesome. Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, that's right. You can be a man on the street.
It's not too late.
No, you can wander in. Or a woman. You don't even have to have had played the game before. Mm-hmm. King of Tokyo is a simple enough game that you can learn it in about 5 or 10 minutes. So if you're in the area and you want to participate, come on down to CAB in Billings at noon on Saturday. And you will have a chance to win a few different things. The winner of the tournament will get a special character direct from Yellow. Mm-hmm. And you can only get this character by winning the tournament. So there aren't really that many running out and about in the wild.
Yeah.
But everybody else participating will get some promo cards as well. And it should be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
So do you want to kind of talk about what we expect to see from this tournament? Because, okay, I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
King of Tokyo is a dice rolling game.
It is.
How is the tournament going to pan out?
Well, the tournament works like this. You have four people sitting at a board, and the winner will receive a number of points. Mm-hmm. Second place will receive a lesser amount of points, so on and so forth.
Okay.
And you will play four games, and whoever has the most points at the end of four games will go to a final table, the top four.
Okay.
And the winner of that fifth game will be the champion and receive the Space Penguin. Also, we have Magic the Gathering vinyl characters for the final table.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just because we're awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what kind of strategies do you guys think are going to show up at these tournaments? Because, I mean, there's multiple ways to win,
yeah,
right?
You can go strictly for the victory points,
right.
Or you can go more from the eliminate everyone else, mm-hmm. sheer violence.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty split.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I've played with a lot of people who love the just like kill everybody
right.
kind of a thing. But sometimes just hanging back and accumulating the victory points
mm-hmm.
works just as well. So
I've noticed sometimes people don't realize how many victory points someone has until it's like they're one away.
Right.
So,
like, oh my gosh, that person has 18 points.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
'cause that's what
definitely.
Happened
yeah.
during a game I was playing tonight. So
yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. We definitely played some games today where that was the dominant strategy.
It was, yeah. And Miss Hodges actually did something I had never seen before. She won the game with 20 victory points and never once went into Tokyo, which is an achievement.
Right.
Yeah. So you certainly can win that way.
We will not be using the expansions for this tournament.
Right. Speaking of the expansions, we have them now. The King of Tokyo expansions. There are two currently out on the market. We have the Power Up expansion, and we have the Halloween Collector Pack. And in these, you get new characters. So we've got, in the Halloween pack, we've got, who is that? Pumpkin Jack
yep.
and Boogie Woogie.
Boogie Woogie.
And in the Power Up expansion, which gives each character special abilities, which is pretty cool, we have the Panda Kai, which is a giant panda bear.
It's like Poe from Kung Fu Panda.
It kind of does.
Yeah, it
yeah.
does. It's not your typical monster, but...
Right.
Yeah, I got to say, Panda Kai is probably my second favorite monster yeah. now. He's pretty sweet.
He is very cool. We played a few games with both expansions, and I felt like just with the special abilities you get, and the Halloween pack comes with costumes that you wear, that will also give you special abilities. I mm-hmm. thought there was a lot more potential for comboing
yeah.
than in just the base game of King of Tokyo. So if you have been playing King of Tokyo for a while and are looking to take it to the next level, either one of these will certainly do that for you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
We were too busy playing the sequel to this game.
Right.
King of New York.
That's right. Which we procured recently as well. And King of New York is similar. You can still win by acquiring 20 victory points or by knocking every other monster off the board. However, there are new symbols on the dice. And rather than numbers, you now have star symbols on the dice. And if you roll a number of stars, you become the superstar. And that is the only way to really gain victory points from the dice. There are also what are called ouch symbols, which are skulls with little cracks in them. Mm-hmm. And these come into play because unlike King of Tokyo, you now have buildings on the board, which you can attack. And as you attack buildings, military units are going to show up and do some damage to you. And if you roll ouch symbols, you get attacked. And then the final new symbol is a destruction symbol, which you will be using to destroy buildings and other military units. And it also comes with six new characters. So what do we think about these new characters?
Not going to lie. I thought the characters in King of Tokyo were better on the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Just the names. The designs aren't so bad, but just kind of the names and... I don't know. They weren't my favorite, although mm-hmm. there is one in particular that I quite enjoyed, which was the Sheriff, which is a T-Rex with a cowboy hat, badge, and a set of pistols.
Right.
That was
not
so that
really
was
sure
great,
what but, that's even about.
Yeah.
But
although, yeah, as a whole, the characters weren't necessarily my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Like the robot, Rob.
Captain Fish.
And Captain Fish, and a couple of the characters are like, you know, still sort of cool, of course.
Right.
Just not, I don't know, a little bit of a letdown, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But this game did, you know how I mentioned that Pandakai is
right.
my second favorite? This game did bring in my number one favorite, which is Draconis, that he's a beast,
right.
Literally. a dragon who has a massive gun and like an electrified fist.
That's intense.
It is.
Yeah.
Plus just the name, Draconis.
Right. That's going to strike some fear.
It is.
And these characters are interchangeable with King of Tokyo and vice versa, which is
right.
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you like a character from one, you can take it into the other. I am in agreement with, yeah, these characters aren't kind of, I think, as good as the others. But on the whole, I think the game is better.
I agree.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I enjoy the sequel significantly more
right.
than the original.
Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more strategy. The board is a little bit bigger, and you all stay on the board, and you are in one of a number of different islands and regions within New York. And like Tokyo, if you're in Manhattan, you will attack all monsters outside of Manhattan, and those outside of Manhattan will be attacking Manhattan. But the military units, I think, add another level of strategy to this game that was missing mm-hmm. from the previous.
Well, and it just makes sense, too, because, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who thought this,
mm-hmm.
but in the first game, I thought it was weird how you're, like, rampaging in the city,
mm-hmm.
and there's, like, no human presence at all. So I kind of like the fact that now the military shows up and you have to deal with them as well.
It right.
It seems mm-hmm. kind of fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually like the dice a lot more in this game because
mm-hmm.
in King of Tokyo you have the 1, 2, and 3, which are only used to score victory points, and it felt like the 1 and 2 were basically worthless, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going for points, you want to get the 3. And now in this game with the star, if you roll 3 of the star, it's the same as rolling 3 threes, and you get
right.
3 points and an added bonus of being the superstar.
Right.
But I felt like it gave you more options rather than half of your options on the die were those points. And
right.
two of them were not even viable. So,
and I think they had to make up for that with the kind of power-up cards that you get in King of Tokyo, where if you roll a different combination of numbers,
mm-hmm.
if you have the particular card, you'll be able to do something. But yeah, other than that, you're just scoring victory points. So there is certainly quite a bit more flexibility with the dice in this game. And we didn't get to look at a lot of the power-ups in
no.
King of New York, but I saw some that were similar.
Yeah.
Which is good. Like, I think you can still get a second head, which is my favorite card in King of Tokyo.
Sheriff is the reigning champ.
Yee-yee.
Really?
Sheriff represent.
Yep.
Sheriff won all games of King of New York tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He's laying down the law.
Boom.
Manhattan ain't big enough for the two of us.
Are you guys ready for insert game here? So there is a website called BoardGameizer.com that will generate ideas for you.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
So I thought we might give it a try.
Specifically for board games.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to hit... generate The victory condition.
They're looking at
victory condition. I've never had to deal with this before.
I know. So the victory condition is win the most votes. The mechanic
politics
is grind.
Grinding?
No. No.
Coffee?
No. Is grid movement. And the theme is Maya Civilization Envy Ballerina.
What?
What?
Lame.
This I don't know about this. This
stupid
generator.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
Usually we just take a mechanic and a theme. Right.
Right.
Yep. So I say we just ignore the victory condition.
I'm just going to ignore Board Game Izer altogether.
Okay. Well, yeah. Negative shout out to Board Game Izer. Yeah. Do not use that website.
Yeah. We just attempted.
I'm actually going to block it with my browser, ad blocker. Yeah.
It did not go well.
Mm-mm.
It generated some
I'm
awful
also going things. To submit a virus report and a not safe report on a Avast antivirus.
Right. A formal complaint will be written.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we got to generate one on our own. What is going on with...
Okay, I can't just keep going forever.
What is this noise supposed to be?
It's the generator.
It's the generator working, yeah. That's the noise machines make when they're generating things.
Okay. Didn't know that.
I never used my machine to generate something. You obviously just did, and that sound was heard.
I don't...
Last try.
Pilgrims.
Okay.
All right.
We're not just... Not just pilgrims, any sort of like settlers, right?
Right.
Not, no.
They're settling in a new world.
Yep, yes.
Okay.
No! No, no. This is going to be about the journey, not about the actual settling.
Nice.
So, whether by boat, whether by wagon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily on Earth either. It could be maybe an extraterrestrial settling, or maybe just a different planet, but also being settled in a similar fashion.
Okay.
So what's the mechanic?
Grid-based
movement?
Grid-based movement. Yes.
All right. That's what I like to hear.
Yes. So could this be like the Oregon Trail?
Yes, that's what I was inspired by.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm.
Where you are going to encounter different things, and you have to prep, perhaps, for the trip.
So what about a space odyssey of sorts, where you're trying to get your party to their destination, right?
Right.
And it's a cooperative game, so you're all working together to try and get these resources, but you're also moving forward, so you can't stay too long.
Nice.
And how about there's something chasing you, so the grid is constantly getting smaller.
What is in outer space that is dangerous?
Anything we want, basically. What are you guys most afraid of in space? Come on.
Well, the thing that came to my mind, since you said it's like moving and it's approaching, was like some sort of weird, like solar storm or galactic storm or something.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't, a cloud, it sounds kind of lame, but like some sort of like growing building storm thing. And if you get caught up in it, you get like,
blown to bits.
Blown to bits.
Bacon bits.
Bacon bits.
Because the crew is pigs.
Boom.
I like it.
We've
locked
got it.
In.
Yeah. Crispy fried bacon. So.
It's not the goal of this game.
That's right.
The name of the game, though.
Yeah.
I think it should be Porcine Pilgrims.
I like
Solar
it.
Odyssey.
Solar Odyssey. What if, like, this storm thing? No, this is going to be forcing this joke.
Okay.
But I'm going to go for it anyway.
Okay,
and stop
what
now.
The storm, the code name for it was like an energy blanket. So blanket.
Oh, no.
Oh,
okay.
I like it.
Energy
Let's
blanket.
Do it.
Nice.
Let's
it's
do
locked
it.
In.
Locked in. Okay, so what were you saying about tiles?
Well, if you lay out tiles, and they don't have to be square necessarily.
Sure.
They could be hexagons or a group of hexagons. And... What? As you're moving through space, you flip them over, and maybe that is part of the solar storm that is catching up to you, and when you flip it over, it could have some negative effect.
I was personally envisioning being on a planet,
Okay.
It's taking place on like just a foreign planet, not necessarily through space. Okay. Because there's a few games that have those kind of tile space exploring mechanics.
Right.
Whereas maybe being on a planet would lock you into more of a linear course. What about like Tetris tiles, right? So you're getting a new tile, but you don't even know what shape it is.
I like that. Yeah.
Tetris locked in. Tile.
Locked in.
All these are locked in. I like it.
Nice. Yeah, we are locking this in.
We're like a safe.
Now, if there's impending doom on a planet, you're kind of just stuck on the planet until it comes. What do you do when it reaches the planet?
Well,
are you trying to escape the planet?
Steven said there's like a solar storm, right?
Right.
So maybe one side of the planet that's facing the sun is going to get burned to a crisp. And as it rotates, you got to make it to the other side.
Nice.
So you're just basically running as the planet turns to stay out of this solar storm.
Running pigs.
Running pigs.
On a planet.
On a planet. From the blanket.
Rotisserie style.
Nice. Locked in.
Planet. Rotisserous. Stand up like a human would.
Yeah. And they're wearing little spacesuits. Yeah. And, and like naval uniforms.
What kind of special abilities do pigs have just naturally? Curly tails.
Sniffing out food.
Right.
They root in the ground for those actual roots.
That's right. And truffles.
And truffles, which are apparently like mushrooms.
Maybe that's their currency.
I like it. Locked in.
Truffle currency.
That's actually awesome. Yeah. I really do like that. What are we buying, though? We're running from this storm. All of civilization is fleeing this planet. I suppose that doesn't really matter. That doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah, what would you buy with truffles?
You could run into, like, other, like, native caravans or something that are also fleeing the storm and, like, purchase supplies from them or something.
So we have tiles, right?
Yeah.
And how is it going to work? Are there just going to be, like, a tile that you flip over and it's going to have a little caravan on it? And if you get to this tile, you have this interaction? Is that what we're envisioning?
That's what I would think.
Yeah. I like that.
And then if you don't want to go to the caravan, of course, you can just go a different path.
Yeah, perhaps the caravan delays you by a certain amount of time. Yeah, so you can make this choice.
It picks up like that one turn, so then the storm gets closer.
Yeah.
But then you could potentially get supplies that help you run the storm faster to like catch up and regain the ground you lost.
Right. You will encounter perhaps predators along the way as well. So what are the natural predators of pigs?
Wolves? But I don't know why you would find those on like a random planet.
Because we're in space.
Space wolves.
Space wolves. They're robots.
Robotic wolves.
Locked in.
All right.
We got it.
What are we missing? I feel like there's a key component that we're not dealing with.
I know.
I feel like we have some sort of like overland traveling, like a sand crawler, right? Envision a sand crawler from Star Wars. Like this big machine that all these pigs are on. And you got to find the supplies to keep this thing running.
I like it.
As you're going along. That could be the SSS blanket.
Oh, pigs in a blanket.
Then it would work. Pigs in the SSS blanket. That would be the title.
So what if you each had a barge and you were not necessarily racing, but trying to survive?
And each, like, page character was, like, the captain of his
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, see, this is starting to sound similar to, like, Dead of Winter in terms of you're building your little group, and yet we're all trying to work together to get this convoy to safety. But we have our own little team that we're commanding.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound bad. I do like the idea.
Could you potentially sabotage the other?
I think you could.
Definitely.
Just to have you would sort of the traitor mechanic where like either you can be cooperative and have like a convoy and you all make it, or you can like ram one off.
Right.
Do something
throw a wrench in the engine.
Wrench in the gears.
Yeah.
You think that's better than us all being on one ship or?
What? They both have pros and cons. Right. I kind of like the idea of us all just being, like, one crew. Because then even each, like, pig could have roles.
Yeah, like, definitely.
You could have, like, the captain guy. You could have the driver. Well, maybe not the driver. But
you'd have, like, a pilot. Yeah.
Engineer, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that might be fun from one point of view.
It sounds a lot like Red November, where you're on the submarine and you're dwarves and you're working together to just keep this thing afloat mixed with the Dead of Winter. I've got my own thing to do as well.
Right.
Yeah. I like it.
What was the official name there? Are we going with the the SSS Blanket. Are we, or whatever.
We're deciding on just one ship?
Yeah, one ship sounds good.
Yeah. One ship. So yeah, I think then we could call it the SSS Blanket. What does that stand for?
If I saw this game on a shelf, the SSS Blanket, I may not buy that game.
What about just
what am I going to get?
Blanket.
The SS Blanket?
Well,
drop one of the S's?
Yeah. Well, so we
you sold me.
That's what did it right there.
Right.
Or you're just disregarding porcine pilgrims. Or the porcine plight.
I do like porcine pilgrims. It's pretty good.
Porcine planetary pilgrims.
I like it. Triple P.
Got it. Just food for thought.
Right. They could have the triple P just branded right on their hindquarters.
Yes.
Triple P.
Locked in.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
So the last game we have to talk about tonight on our Monster Cast is a game called Rampage, designed by Antoine Bauza and Ludwig Montblanc. Antoine Bauza has designed a number of different games, two of which have won the Game of the Year, Seven Wonders and Hanabi. And he has become, I think, my favorite designer. I think for more than any other reason, all of his games are so different from each other. And this one is no exception. This is a dexterity game where you are each a monster and you are rampaging through a city filled with meeples. And on your turn, you can move about the city. You can attack buildings and knock them down and eat meeples. You can throw vehicles at buildings and other monsters. And you can actually blow other monsters and buildings over. And it's just a lot of fun. And we all got a chance to play it. What are your first impressions?
It's kind of tricky to get the hang of it first, being a dexterity game. It doesn't seem so difficult to flick a disc to get it where you want it to be, but it's surprising. And like blowing things down and trying to launch vehicles at other players, it's actually quite tricky. And so it takes a little bit to get the hang of, but it's always fun.
Right. Yeah, some really crazy cool things can happen that are often unexpected. I know Kaylee had this amazing shot where she was trying to get around a bus to another section of the board. And I looked at it and just said, there's no way. And
boom.
There was a way.
It happened.
Yeah.
It was intense.
Yeah. And you're going to score different points for different things. And there are six different colored meeples. And if you have a collection of six, you will score 10 points. And you also get a special power and character that is going to give your particular monster some personality. Right?
Yeah.
It's one thing I'll say about this game is that if you just see like the box, it seems very like childish.
Right.
Maybe a children's game, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it may kind of deter older customers. But I had a lot of fun with it all the same. Like, it seems like a children's game, but anybody, I think, can play it and enjoy themselves.
Right. Yeah, it is a dexterity game, and it's got a fun theme, and it's very colorful. They actually had to update the box because they had to change the name, for one thing, from Rampage to Terror in Meeple City, because I think they were infringing on some copyright laws with the actual video game that was developed in the 80s, where monsters ran around smashing buildings and eating people.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know,
it's a French game. Yeah. They may not have been aware of the video game that was developed.
Well, I mean, the video game is pretty old.
It is.
And
right.
Yeah, the word Rampage is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely.
It seems weird to just have a copyright like on that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, this game actually has, I think, a lot of depth to it. Like I said, when you start off, you're not very good. I really didn't know like what the best strategy is. You know, you just start dropping monsters on buildings, and then after a while, you kind of see what you want to do, and you realize the best ways and how to set up like these big plays and get a lot of meeples.
Right.
I remember Mr. Powell had a play one time where there was one section of the city that already had a lot of meeples in it, but he went in and started just knocking things down even more, and I was confused for a second because I'm like, well, you can only eat five at a time because he was missing a tooth. And then he placed a superpower, which allows him to double the amount, and he just took in all these meeples.
Right.
And ended up winning the game, and I thought that was pretty clever of him.
And I actually got to play this a couple times tonight, and the second time, knowing that you need to collect six of each to actually score points, mm-hmm. you begin to look at the board and see where those particular colored right. meeples are that you need. And it is kind of a puzzle, weaving in and out of monsters and vehicles and buildings, trying to get to the meeples yeah. that you need.
I really liked the superpowers in this game. I thought it was a really clever way to add some imbalance to the game. Mm-hmm. But then also, they were one-time abilities, and they were secret. So everyone's saving up this ability that could make or break the game, really. And so mm-hmm. I think that's really cool, just to have these different abilities to allow the game to be a lot more dynamic.
Right.
And it changes every time you play it because you have different characters, but especially those superpowers. I really, really enjoyed those.
Right. And for me, once superpowers were revealed, that incentivized me to attack mm-hmm. particular monsters. Seeing Mr. Powell come in with his vacuum ability where he blows meeples off the board and then just consumes them seemed a little bit OP to me. So, yeah, I'm going to throw cars at him.
Yeah.
Mine was a little gross. I ate meeples out of another monster's stomach.
That was a hobo. Right.
Highly disturbing.
It was. Yeah. So
I got to reach across and grab three meeples at random.
Out of the mouth of another monster.
Which I also really enjoyed. You get little stands that have your monster's face on them, which is where you keep your teeth. And then right. behind it is their stomach, where you store your meeples and right. buildings
yeah,
you can see.
Yeah, it operates as like a little screen.
Yeah, right. exactly. A little screen.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool, kind of having your own little area back there where all your stuff you're consuming is going.
Right. And nobody else can see back right. there. Mm-hmm. Technically, so yeah. you can be collecting meeples and nobody really knows which ones you need to collect mm-hmm. And finish your sets. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. I also thought the blowing technique worked pretty well for me. So,
yeah.
And in order to blow, you had to rest your chin on the top of your dragon's head.
Right.
So that made it definitely more interesting because you can get more air. And then once you bend over,
right.
you get less air.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clever.
The bat symbol?
Yeah.
Not just the bat symbol. There are actually a lot of references in this game. A lot of little shout-outs. Like, you can look in a sewer and see one of the Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Captain America's shield is lying on the ground on the board.
Right.
So just things like that are kind of fun. See these little secrets hidden around that you can discover.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, lots of little Easter eggs. And I really enjoy it when games do this, where they hide things in the artwork mm-hmm. for you to explore and appreciate. And right. now, do we like this game more than King of New York or King of Tokyo?
No.
Or are they different enough to appreciate them on different levels?
I think you can definitely appreciate them on different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah, they're very unique from one another, but I will say that if I had to choose, I would probably still put Rampage over King of Tokyo,
okay.
but maybe not over King of New York.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one thing that would make me choose King of New York or Tokyo over Rampage is just the amount of setup that it takes.
Sure.
And tear down for Rampage.
Right.
Just a lot of pieces. You know, you're stacking meeples and tiles up on top of each other, and it takes a while. And that can get kind of annoying. And then also, even just moving around and collecting pieces and stuff can be a bit tedious,
right?
As opposed to the elegance of rolling dice and moving your one cardboard character,
yeah.
right?
So, plus the odds of losing a piece in Rampage,
true.
Right?
Just yeah,
yeah,
they're significant.
But right. Also, while Rampage is a pretty casual game, you know, you're not being super competitive, or at least I don't think most people would be. But it's still really involved. You're constantly having to get in there and like flick your pieces and pick things up and knock things over. Whereas with King of Tokyo, you can really kind of sit back from the whole thing mm-hmm. and kind of just roll your dice and do your stuff on your turn, as opposed to like kind of moving around the board because you got to go and breathe down some building
right
on the other side where other people are sitting. So,
yeah, it is a more interactive game, and I like yeah. that about it.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we should wrap this up by saying this is episode number 10, ladies and gentlemen.
We've big, officially big, big, big times.
Yep. Yep. Double digits.
That's right. Two whole hands.
Ah, snap.
Whoa. Yep.
Join us next time as we start using our toes.
Oh, man. In Origins.
That's right.
Indeed.
Yes, join us for the next episode, the Origins special. Should be really exciting.
Okay.
There's no doubt.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Pigs in space.
30. I mean, you did call him Mr.
I've got
Liz.
You now. Help me. Help me now.
What? That's so perfect. Steven, what? Like, okay, you were like scatting, right? And I was like, all right, that's not bad. But now you break this out. See, it's like so funny, but then also just so emotionally moving at the same time that I don't know how to react.
You're conflicted.
I'm laughing and crying at the same time.
Yeah, I have that effect on people.